here on November 8th, 1985, in his offices in Moorhead. And Art will introduce his background.
I'm a lifelong resident of Moorhead, Minnesota, except for approximately 8 years, which I spent elsewhere. I am 52 years old. I am from Scandinavian and German descent. My educational background is that I graduated from Moorhead High School in 1951 and from Concordia College in 1955. I served in the United States Army for 2 years in Korea after that. From thence, I came back here, married my college sweetheart, Miss Montana, and we have been in the printing business since then. My father bought the controlling interest in Melbourne Printing Company in 1953. At that time, the printing company was in the oldest building in Moorhead, over on First Avenue South, next door to Melvey Service Station. We moved at that time from more or less of an old gray barn to the newest building in Moorhead, the Foss Complex, which had just been completed at 30 North 3rd Street.
What year was that?
That was in 1954. And we spent 20 years in that location, after which, when I turned the gentle age of 40, my ego had decided that I had to do something a little bit different. So I built this present building here at 111 South 7th Street, and we have been here ever since. This was a great undertaking on my part, since I had never borrowed any large money prior to that, and I had many restless nights for several years wondering if I had done the right thing. Basically, our printing business, we serve the Fargo-Moorhead area. We do job printing for churches. We do work for the two colleges here in Moorhead. We also do a little work for North Dakota State University. It's a deadline business. You're always working against deadlines. It's a manufacturing business. When you take in a customer's rough copy, create it into a workable piece of material so it looks nice. We show the customer a proof, he okays it, then we print it, whether it'll be in one color or multicolor. It's then folded, trimmed, stapled, or whatever the customer wants, and hopefully it's delivered on time.
Okay, Mr. Dirks, you had indicated that your father, and his name was Arthur P. Dirks. Arthur P. Dirks had purchased what is known as Melbourne Printing. And was it about
1953?
And if I remember correctly, you had said that this was located at the corner of what is now 8th Street and Main Avenue.
Yeah, it wasn't on the corner. It was in the middle of the block, but it would be It was really for old-time Moorhead people. It would be right next door to Howard's Old Ice Cream Store. And that was the humble beginnings of the Melberg Printing Company.
All right, now we're interested to find out how Arthur P. Dirks, your father, acquired this business. Would it be a corporation? Would it just be a one-man business, or how is that?
Well, before my family arrived on the scene in the printing business, the Melberg Printing Company was in very poor financial shape. And at that time, Mr. Melberg indicated that he wanted to sell the controlling interest in the business to my father. So they set up a corporation so Mr. Melberg was still liable for his past debts, and any new debts incurred, our family would be liable for those. But the big thing was to get that business moved out of that old gray barn. That was really the big step, to get that business. There was enough equipment there to run a business, but it just was, the building was just too old. It was not ground level. It was just very inconvenient to have any kind of a good operation.
Okay, did Mr. Dirks buy just the equipment, or did he purchase the land and building, or how?
No, he just purchased 51% of the existing Melberg Printing Company. In fact, that building was owned by the late George Comstock, and Mr. Melberg rented from George Comstock.
All right, then it was Mr. Dirks' objective, your father, Mr. Dirks' objective, to get out of that building and move elsewhere. And so moving from that building was not as difficult, since he did not need to dispose of the building or the
that is correct, or
the land on which it rested.
That is correct.
He purchased the equipment and the name Melberg.
Right.
Now then, he moved to another location, and just for the sake of the record, what was that location again?
Our location for the next 20 years was 30 North 3rd Street. We were right next door to Foss, Engelstad, and Foss. And we rented from Mr. M.O. Foss, and he was just a great man. He's the only man I ever met who was in both world wars. And we had a real fine rapport with the Foss family, and we had a lot of fun down there. We really did. And that's where I really got my start, and got my feel in the business, and got my feet wet. And those are really great times in the 60s down at 30 North 3rd Street.
Now, did Mr. Melberg participate in that business at the new location in any way, in any form, as a silent partner, or was he, can you remember, out of that?
No, he, several years later, after we were located at 30 North 3rd Street, he sold the remaining interest to my dad and I called the family corporation, and we bought the remaining interest, and Mr. Melberg then started going actively pursuing a new business called the Melberg Church Supply, which is still in existence to this day.
Okay. You used the term, my dad called it a family corporation. Was it a formal corporation, or was it?
It was a family corporation. It was, okay. My father is president,
myself as vice president, my mother was the secretary and treasurer.
All right. Very good. Now, that gives us the background of the Dirks printing business. At what time did you enter the business as in that location, and under what corporation or what arrangements with?
Well, as I had said previously, I came back to Moorhead in late 1957, and I was married, and I had always worked a little for my dad while going to Concordia, and I was kind of fascinated by the business. So I was the man out on the street making the calls and doing a little work in the back shop at that time. And we were undoubtedly the best father and son combination in Moorhead at that time.
There was no legal contract at that time. You just simply worked for him.
I worked for him, and then later on in the 60s, we bought into that business, and so it was...
We, meaning?
We, or my wife and myself. So we worked more or less, as I stated before, my mother was the secretary and treasurer, and I held the position of vice president, and my father was the president. We just had a really lot of fun down there.
At that juncture, that operated for until the year. What year was that? Until Mr. Dirks.
My father retired from the business in about 1966. And
at that time you became?
I became the president of the firm, and then we were getting so crowded in that present location, I was starting to look around for a new location, not necessarily wanting to build a building, but just for a bigger building. And there were different places that we had considered, but at that time when I was looking, I was still about 37, 38 years old. And so later on, I decided that I really wanted to build a large building, about 10,000 square feet, and operate from a new location.
Okay, the present building that you're in is now 10,000 square feet. Would that be perhaps double or in comparison to the other?
When we moved in 1973 to this location, we moved from a square footage of 2,600 square feet to a square footage of 10,000 square feet. In other words, we had a lot of room. We could store a lot of baled hay down here at this new location.
Very good. Now, how many employees would you estimate you had in 1953? And could you give me a history of the number of employees to show the growth in the company over that period of time?
I believe there were three employees back when Mr. Melberg had the business in the 40s and early 50s. And we haven't grown that much. We have seven full-time employees now and a couple part-time people. But the business has changed a lot. There's no letterpress printing anymore. We don't set type with hot metal. We set type now off of CompuGraphic cold type machines. It's faster. It's cleaner. The print looks nicer. it's just as a more pleasant, productive process.
Okay, could you describe the basic kinds of employees that would have had to be employed when you yourself first started business, that you had to have perhaps a printer to run a business, kind of compare that with what types of business class or of occupational classifications you have at the present time?
Well, at that time, you know, there are these machines called linotypes. And I never wanted to get too close to a linotype machine because I found out that the man who invented them, Mergenthaler, went crazy. So I just stayed away from those machines. But we did have a real excellent operator, a man by the name of Robert Finney, who was a deaf mute. And he worked here for close to 20 years, but the business has changed so much in later years that we couldn't keep him busy setting type because we had these compugraphic cold type machines at the time, and you could set twice as much material in an 8-hour day versus the old linotype machine. But even to this day, there are still some people who will come around and ask, do you set type with a linotype? And we have to say no now. And there are people that are just think that those linotype machines were just the greatest, but there just was so much maintenance on them, and they were smelly and smoky, and I was glad that we got into all offset printing now.
Right. So that's the mechanical part that happens in the rear of your building. I imagine you have to have someone in charge of sales.
Well, I take care of some of that, and my foreman also takes care of some of it. I have an excellent foreman here who's been here a number of years. Most of the people who are employed here now are younger, in their 30s, married. For a lady or a woman who is an excellent typist, and if she wants to be in the printing business, they can make a very good living being a cold type operator working for a printing company. That area of the business is still changing, and they are coming out with newer machines and, of course, more expensive machines that will set type much faster. Now, you notice, I don't know when it was, 10, 12 years ago, the Fargo Forum, they threw out all their linotypes. They must have had 16, 18 linotypes. And all that now is set via computer and on tape. And it's, I'm quite sure, their typesetting ability is perhaps 3 times as fast as it was when they set type with the hot metal.
Okay, so then going back to getting a sort of a profile of the way the business operates. We've covered the typesetting and mechanical part of doing it in what's done in the rear. But you have sales, which you and
my foreman,
yeah, handle. Now the accounting. How were the books kept when you began? And how do you...
Well, there's where we're still pretty old-fashioned. This business has only had 2 bookkeepers in the history of the printing company. And the present bookkeeper is an excellent man. who does this work really on a part-time basis for me. He does it on the weekends. So Monday morning, I know exactly where I'm at. But if somebody really wanted to know where I was Friday afternoon, I would have to hem and haw a little bit. But we do not have a computer for our bookkeeping and accounts receivable. There are reasons for that, but everything is going along real fine in that area. The printing jobs have become larger now. We maybe perhaps don't have that many more new accounts, but the accounts that we have are larger.
So the bookkeeping was adequate at the outset and is still serves your purposes very nicely.
Very much so.
And so that hasn't changed that much. I wonder if you could perhaps touch briefly on the changes that have occurred regarding the wages and benefits of your employees, and you can go as far as you want, or I'm not searching for confidential information, but to show what has happened as far as wages and benefits of employees and number of working hours, for instance.
Well, a number of working hours, it used to be, and I can just barely remember this, when the Morehead banks were open on Saturday morning. And we used to pay Saturday morning, and so everybody could cash their check before the bank closed. They normally at that time worked 44, 45 hours a week, straight time.
No overtime.
Now, anything over 40 hours is time and a half, and in extreme circumstances, it's double time. I would say generally that wages perhaps have tripled over since we started in the business to what it is now. Good people coming into this business, somebody interested would possibly go to Wahpeton School of Science, some of the Minnesota Technical Institutes. There's one down at Staples that has a good printing background. And one of the things that you like to do is, if you're looking for somebody, try to find a technical institute that has somewhat the same equipment as you do in your printing business, and then the change from learning at a school, if you're working on the same kind of a press as we have, that eliminates an awful lot of problems.
Very good. Could you comment on how you price your products, and how you can determine a competitive price and still make a profit so that your business remains
We have a guideline of a catalog that we subscribe to that if you are able to follow the catalog, there would be no problem as far as making a profit. But because of the highly competitiveness of the business, there are certain areas in that catalog that you should or you must discount anywhere from 20 to 25%. Because you just can't get that markup here in the Fargo-Moorhead area, say, versus the Minneapolis area. But of course, on the other hand, the Minneapolis area, they have always had a higher wage scale than we have. There are days when I wonder about that. But everything seems to work out okay. And
so with your system, you may not be able we to have tell our, on a specific
yeah,
product
we whether have our own
25%
yeah,
or
10%. We have our own cost system that we use on larger jobs here. But the little job, when somebody wants 500 business cards, there's just a set price. And whether it's set with 13 lines of type or 9 lines of type, we just have a set price that for that specific job.
All right, Mr. Dirks, I would like to know how you handle the matter of billing and collection of money for your goods and services, and whether or not you encounter any difficulty or some of the
Well, all businesses have somewhat of a little problem, I'm quite sure, on accounts receivable, and we're not immune from that. We bill once a month, and usually if you've done business with us, you'll receive a statement either on the first or the second of the month. Hopefully we would be paid then by the 10th, but that doesn't work out that way anymore. It seems like some of our larger accounts, the play for money is greater now than it's ever been, and some of the ones that used to pay by the 10th, many of them now will pay by the 30th. So what that really means is that you need a larger amount of working capital, so when you buy your paper and you have to pay by the 10th, and there is a 2% discount usually on paper and envelopes, that you can afford to take that discount even though some of your bigger accounts haven't paid. Now, we don't go after or call up people until our account or their account is 90 days old. But after that, usually it's just a friendly reminder, and things, again, somehow work out on the accounts receivable. You have to be a little selective nowadays in who you do business with, and because of that, maybe that's our greatest asset down here, in that we don't want to do business with everybody, but we do like to do business with other businesses and organizations. Of course, when it comes to selling wedding invitations, we always like to collect from the new bride right away, because 9 times out of 10, she leaves town or changes her name anyway. So usually that's on a cash and carry basis.
You covered that one very, very well, thank you. Can you explain to us how you obtain your products, such as paper, envelopes, or whatever you have to purchase, and perhaps indicate some of the sources by name, at least those that are available or that you choose, and how you select them. And if you could also cover, if there are salesmen that call on you, any kind of relationships that you use as guidelines or in purchasing? Is it?
Well, we are serviced in this area by Nationwide Papers out of Minneapolis, John Leslie Paper Company out of Minneapolis, and Western Paper, which is a local paper house here that serves mainly the printer. They sell printing equipment and paper. One of the advantages of buying from a local distributor here is he will deliver the paper to you that day. In fact, if you really need it, he'll make a second delivery to you. So, in other words, our inventory does not have to be that large. However, there are always so-called deals in the paper business. You can buy a carton of paper and get charged a certain price, but if you buy four cartons of paper, the price is better. And if you buy 16 cartons, it's a little better yet. So on some of the basic papers, we will have, if I took you, John, back to our shop now, you would see about five or six skids of paper standing around. And you see, that's paper that we use on specific jobs, but the jobs are either weekly or monthly. And so we've been able to purchase that price, or purchase that paper, at a little bit better price. But most of the jobs do not fall into that category, and we are buying for the job, because you just can't have that much paper on hand without it being used up in a relatively...
Is there more variety of product available in 1985 than there was in 1953?
There is much more different kinds of paper now. You've got many more different weights of paper, and I won't dwell on that, but in the book papers now there's a 45-pound weight, there is a 50-pound weight, there is a 60-pound weight, 70, 80, all the way up to 100-pound weight. So that alone, if you had to stock those, you just couldn't do all that. But on certain basic paper items like the 50 and the 60 weights, we do have skids on hand for that use.
For the national supplier that you referred to, are there salesmen that call on you?
There are salesmen that call on us once a week. Many times it's just as a social call, but they will usually come out or stop in and show something new. There's always a new kind of paper coming out. The problem is getting somebody to use it right away, so they usually leave a swatch book of this new kind of paper where you can show a customer that type, and hopefully they might try it. At one time, they had, if you recall, they were recycling old paper, and there was a rage there for a while to use this recycled old paper because it was the thing to do. Well, that has since passed, but you can still buy that paper. But it's like anything else. There's certain styles and trends, even in something as unglamorous as a skid of paper.
Are there other supplies other than paper that are necessary in your business now?
Oh, we sell a few office supplies, but basically our business is the printing business, and
all right. This then covers the interview with Arthur Dierks, president and owner of the family corporation, Dirk's Printing in Moorhead. In conclusion, thinking back over the history of your business, if you had it to do over again, would there be any changes, or are you pretty well satisfied with the way you handle it?
Oh, I still like the business. I guess I get a little tired a little earlier in the week sometimes, but that's just because of age. It still is a very fascinating business. You do business with a lot of very interesting people. We print everything here from little feed tags for a customer out in West Fargo all the way up to now a multicolored brochure or anniversary booklet for a church. It's been a lot of fun. Some mornings, you know, my wife will say, "What are you going to do today?" And to be really truthful, sometimes I have to say, "You know, I don't know, Mary Ellen. We'll just have to wait and see." But all in all, it's been a lot of fun, and it's great to be in business in Moorhead.
Thank you, Scott.